Encounters improve the quality of our lives. Encounters come to reveal to us the futility of life without God. Encounters will activate purpose and calling in our life. Encounters come to restore intimacy and fellowship.
The land of Zebulun, the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea, beyond Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people which sat in darkness saw a great light, and to them which sat in the region and the shadow of death, light is sprung up. Encounters come to restore intimacy. Encounters come to reveal to us the futility of life. If you don't have a relationship with God, anything of value can become God to you. Welcome to Encounter Jesus Ministries, sustaining an experiential knowledge of God and walking in the fullness of our eternal ordination. Now, listen to God's servant, Apostle Oropo Michael, as he takes us through an encounter with the Word.
Can we lift our hands toward heaven and honor the Lord? Just tell the Lord to speak into your heart. It's not about the length of the message. It's to have an encounter with the Word. The Bible said until the time that His Word came, it said the Word of the Lord tried Him. So there is a Word that must come for you to step into your destiny. He was in prison. He was behind bars. But when the Word came, the Bible said the king sent for to lose Him. So when your word comes, it can provoke even your helpers. It can engender deliverance. He said the king sent for to lose him, even the ruler of the people. He made him lord of his house, and he made him to be in charge of his household, to bind his princes at his pleasure, and to teach his senators wisdom. So your position, your promotion, your deliverance, all is tied to the word that comes to you. Can you ask the Lord tonight? I receive my word. I catch my word. I take delivery of my word. Ask Him for a word tonight. Thank you, Father. We bless your name, Holy Spirit. We honor you, precious Lord Jesus. Again, we ask that you minister to us by your Spirit. And we ask that your word will come fresh, even in the name of Jesus Christ. We have prayed. Amen. You may be seated. Our time is short. Our time is short, and we trust God to take us on a journey. When Mama was sharing, I think the brother was very correct when he said we should share the grace. I hope what I will say here will not make us forget what Mama said, because that's like a compass. It's a roadmap to destiny. Thank you so much, Ma. I will add something little, because when you were talking from the place of authority in priesthood, experience in ministry, and as a mother in Israel. So let me add a little. Glory to God. Praise God. Let's begin from Acts of the Apostles, chapter 2, verse 17. I just want to make a few remarks. There are four things I'll be speaking on tonight, and I believe it will bless someone. This was Peter speaking here, and he was trying to reiterate what the prophet Joel said in Joel chapter 2 from verse 28, and he said, it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, that I will pour out of my spirit on all flesh. He said, your sons and your daughters will prophesy, your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. This scripture clearly depicts and reveals to us that nobody is too old for dreaming. Your old men shall dream dreams. So you can be 90. The best time to dream is when you are old. You don't start dreaming and stop when you are young. Dreaming actually begins when you are old. And the reason is simple. It says the outward man perishes. He said, but the inward man is renewed day by day, according to 2 Corinthians 4:16. So in the spirit, there's nothing like old age. It's in the natural that our body begins to grow weak because of the fall. In the spirit, the older, the younger. Because it's a realm of a perpetual continuum. And so you see as much as your spirit is open to see. Praise God. And so there is nothing that should truncate your vision. There's nothing that should truncate your dreams. You dream until you cross over to the other side. In fact, when you are going, you impart your dream to the next generation so that it becomes an eternal memorial. It becomes a heritage. So I make bold to declare tonight that even the oldest amongst us will catch a dream. And we will remember dreams. Because nothing the Lord does is designed to end. Anything He does abides forever. Praise God. And so having said that, there are four things I'll be dealing with tonight. Number one is the nature of the attack of the devil. Number two, I'll specifically deal with the effect of fear. And then number three, I'll deal with the power of dreaming. Because our focus is our dreams. The theme is to focus on your dream, not on your fears. So I'll look at the power of focus, or how to focus on your dreams. And then finally, I'll put out some factors that will help you in realizing your dreams. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So let's begin with the works of darkness. Because it's possible for many to assume that the things that happen on earth is a function of luck, of chance, and of course coincidences. But you see, the earth realm is a realm of manifestation. Everything we see in the natural realm is a product of realities concluded in the spirit realm. Spirits are colonial masters. And what spirits do is to find the realm where God's agenda is domiciled per time. And they channel all the agenda there. That's how spirits operate. And so the way it works is that all the ancient spirits, they keep track with God and they check where God is going. The direction God is going is the region of emphasis. And so for you to be relevant as a spirit, you must have a stake where God is. That's why the moment God said, "Let us make man," they know another agenda is about to begin. Because they have been with this being for aeons. The Bible said in Genesis chapter 1 verse 1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. So there were many creations in the spirit realm. And in fact, God was many things before He became creator. But it is not captured in the syllabus of creators to know what He was. But at least we know that of the many things He is, He is creator. And when He started creating, He created many realms. And all the realms were spirits. Until the time came when He decided to become a bit, He activated more of His created powers. And He wanted to crystallize the natural from the supernatural. He wanted to crystallize the physical from the spiritual. He wanted to crystallize the tangible from the intangible. And so all the angels were watching. If you study the book of Job 38, you are going to see that a question was asked. The Bible spoke about God and the angels, the high-ranking angels. He said when God created the earth, they sang into it. That means the spirits were spectators when God was walking. And so they saw Him when He created the different layers of the spirit realm. Until a point came when He wanted to create the material realm. And they were watching how He will bring materiality from immateriality. You know, if I stand before you after 5 minutes, you will see everything about me. You will just focus on your notes. But when you see God, the more you see, the more you want to see. It's an excelling glory. And when God is at work, you never get exhausted. So they keep watching in awe. When they saw that this being is inexhaustible, they now decided to name Him Holy. Because holy is not a name. Holy means you are in your own class. We know we can try, but none can compare to you. And so when He created the earth from the spirit, He now made a statement. Because every spirit was wondering how they would be relevant in this realm. Because most of them were thinking they would have a part to play. And God now went further to say, "Let us make man." He now decided to put man in this earth. And so from that moment, every spirit wanted to befriend man. Because for me to be relevant in the earth, I must have a connection with man. Because the law is that the heavens belong to God, but the earth He has given to the sons of men. So if I will be relevant, if I will be relevant on earth, then I must befriend man. Because the one who has authority in the earth realm apart from God is man. The problem now is that when a spirit befriends you, he will impart his predominant nature to you. And so the man was naive.
He didn't understand when he came into the earth that there was war in heaven. Because he's the youngest of all creatures. You know, there are beings in heaven called elders. The question you ask yourself is, if there's no time there, what is the quality to become an elder? What makes you an elder in a realm where there's no time? That's the topic for another day. But you see, the man is young, so he's naive. So any spirit that comes, he opens his arm. And he doesn't know that when spirits come, they have a purpose. The purpose of a spirit is to use you as a puppet to advance his agenda. When God put the man in the garden, he wanted the man to facilitate only divine agenda. But once upon a time, while the man was in the garden appreciating apples instead of focusing on purpose, the serpent showed up and began to teach him the way of rebellion. And you know, the devil does not have anything good in him. Jesus was speaking. He gave us a manifesto in John chapter 10 verse 10. He said, the devil cometh not but for to kill, to steal, and to destroy. And so the devil came and advanced a suggestion to the man. And the moment the man obeyed him, the man became a servant. Because the law is that whoever you yield yourself servant to obey, the servant of him you are whom you have obeyed. And so the moment the man did that, he relinquished his authority to the devil. When the devil was tempting Jesus on the mountain, he said, all the things you are seeing has been delivered to me. Jesus didn't argue. Because what he said had a legitimate ground. It was when Jesus resurrected from Hades that he answered the question. He said, all power has been given to me. Because there is a legal issue. I have to deal with it legally. And the way he dealt with it legally was to show a superior wisdom over the devil. Because this thing is a game of wisdom. The devil came, deceived the man, took power. And Jesus came, and the devil thought it was going to be a game of who is stronger. He said, if you are the son of God, turn these stones to bread. No, I don't need to turn stones to bread to prove that I'm the son of God. What you don't know is that it is in weakness that strength is manifested. So the way I will show power is to die. And so the devil didn't know, he supported in killing Jesus. And he said, if the princes of this world had known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. So when Jesus hung on the cross and the devil thought he was dying, the Bible said while he was on the cross, having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a public show of them, triumphing over them by the cross. So the cross became the weapon to kill the devil. And when he rose, he said, all hail the king. All power in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Now, the point I'm trying to raise here is the fact that when men open up their chambers to spirits, they allow the nature and the agenda of those spirits to also have a place in their sphere. And so the first challenge of vision is the fact that activities that are demonically oriented are here. And many are not aware that every time you open to the devil, you are imbibing his nature and you are also allowing his government to find expression in your sphere. And the reason many cannot fulfill purpose is not because God is not present. It's not because God is not powerful. It's actually because they have legally opened a door to demonic oppression and demonic operation. And there are few of them that blinds us from looking at our vision. Our focus is to look at vision, look at our dreams. And there are few of those demonic operations that has blinded men from focusing on what matters. And one of it is what we are dealing with tonight, fear. You will think fear is a feeling you have. Fear is a spirit. Because there is a weapon of a spirit. And there are many of such weapons. If we had time, we would have dealt with at least 14 of them. Because there are many. One of the weapons spirits use to destroy men is pride. Because when you allow pride get into you, even God can't help you. Because these spirits are wise. It's a game of wisdom. The devil knows what he will do that will make God impotent in your matter. Because God himself shows up and he said, if he sees pride in you, instead of helping you, he resists you. He said he resisted the proud, he giveth more grace to the humble. So when the devil wants to fight you, he will not come with a dagger. He will inject pride and he will allow it to softly enter your soul. And when that pride enters your soul, even God that should be your helper will now resist you. And you will now discover that you are a stranger on earth. You are lonely, walking on earth, not knowing what to do. And your purpose will elude you. Because demons are walking here. Spirits are walking here. We must not make the mistake of assuming that the things that happen on earth are a set of coincidences. Nothing is a coincidence. Everything is deliberately orchestrated from the spirit realm. The first weapon of the devil for shutting us down from purpose is pride. When you become proud, God can't help you. And Satan will make a mess of you. There's another weapon called distraction. In 1 Kings chapter 20 verse 40, the prophet told a parable to the king. He said, my Lord gave me a servant to keep. He said, but as I was busy here and there, I lost him. You will now discover that your dream is actually not something you created. Because I would define a dream. Your dream is actually images, divinely orchestrated images, generated in your spirit to help you have a grasp of your purpose. And so if you become busy here and there, you will lose your dream. You will not understand that you thought you saw a woman, you say, ah. You thought you saw a car, oh. As you are turning up and down, your dream is eluding you. The next time you wake up, you are 80. And then you are wondering, why did I come here? They will answer you in heaven. There's a place where you get all the answers. It's in heaven. There's no answer that you will not get there. But you see, because the devil knows this, he will fire distraction into your soul. And there are many young men who are distracted. They face anything that has to do with destiny. They discover they don't have appetite for it. And from Monday to night, they are roaming up and down doing nothing. And they are busy here and there. When you become busy here and there, you don't need the devil to take your vision. You will hand it over. You will lose it. It's a weapon from the demonic realm. People don't know spirits are doing overtime work here. That's why they take life for granted. The second weapon the devil uses is the weapon of distraction. If you become distracted, trust me, if they like, they should pour a drum of oil on your head. You will lose your vision. You will lose your dream. You will never fulfill it. It's in heaven they will show you the scope and the power that your life should have commanded. The third weapon the devil uses on earth is wrong desires. Spirits run on the frequency of your desire. Every time a desire is born, a channel is open for spirit manifestation. In John 8:44, Jesus was speaking. He said, you are of your father, the devil. He said, the lust of your father shall ye do. So the moment you build a desire, you enthrone a spirit over you. The moment their desires became lost, the devil became their father. And you know, the word father is the word pater. It's also the word fundus. That's origin and sustainer. So you will discover that when you build a wrong desire, the spirit that takes over is the one that creates the kind of image that you see. And so that spirit can now rule over your destiny. And so the third weapon the devil is using to tame a generation is the weapon of wrong desire. You think when you look around and all you are seeing are seductive paintings is something that was not thought through. You buy a razor blade, you see a naked person. They are trying to create an image. And as we go into dreams, you will see the power of visualization. What the devil is trying to do is to create a desire in you. And that desire created will become a gangway for him to walk into your destiny and to dominate you. It's a weapon in the spirit. When you become wise, you will shut the gates. The gate of the eyes, the gate of the ear, the gate of the skin. Nothing can enter. In Ephesians 4:27, he said, giving no place to the devil. Because it is you who determines what spirit rule over you. And the desires you open up is the gateway for spirits. This thing does not begin with talking. There are many things that happen in your life that you don't say anything, but you consent to. And one of the ways you consent is through your thinking and your desire. If you think it, desire it, you open a door for a spirit to take over. It's a weapon in the spirit. I'm telling you why many lose their dreams and they can't focus on it. Because the desires can take them off and they will veer away from destiny. The fourth weapon of the devil is the weapon of sin and lawlessness. In Isaiah 53 verse 6, it says, all we like sheep have gone astray. All we. So the moment you choose the path of sin, iniquity and lawlessness, you voluntarily walk away from God. So you see that all these weapons have their powers. The weapon of pride makes God to resist you. The weapon of distraction makes you to lose your dream. The weapon of desire makes other spirits to rule over you. And the weapon of sin makes you to walk away from God. All of these things will end up causing you to lose that dream that God planted in your spirit even before you were born. Because the things that you see while you walk on earth were built into you before you were born. He said to Jeremiah, before you were formed in your mother's womb, I knew you. I ordained you to be a prophet. You come on earth, you are seeing prophetic signals. You don't know that those things are algorithms created from the studio of eternity. You are not being creative. You are only seeing what was passed into you. And what the devil will do is to make sure you lose it. You never fulfill it. Wrong desire, sin, and lawlessness. The fifth weapon the devil uses is the weapon of ingratitude. So you find many people who should be helped into destiny. They shut the gates. Most people are in obscurity and suffering today because they didn't say thank you at the right time. God arranges or arranged everything that should lift them up. When the table is set, all they needed to say is thank you, sir. Thank you, ma. They didn't say it. They forgot. And because they forgot, their helpers too forgot. And so everybody forgets until they are forgotten in destiny. And no matter how strong you are, you need men. No matter how strong you are, you need helpers. Sometimes one recommendation can be more important than a life saving. But if you don't know how to say thank you, you are gone. And the devil will use this to make a lot of people suffer and never fulfill destiny. In 1 Thessalonians 5:18, the Bible said, in all things, be thankful. In all things. Because if you lose the virtue of gratitude, you will discover that even if you remember your dream, you won't fulfill it. And there are all of these weapons there, the devil working over time to keep us in obscurity. This conference is designed to make you break the power of darkness. It's designed to cut all of those programs from your soul so that as you walk out of here, the you that was sent from heaven will manifest. He said, the thief cometh not but for what? To kill, to steal, and to destroy. These are some of the weapons he uses. But tonight our focus is on fear. Fear is a weapon the devil is using. In 2 Timothy 1:17, he said, God has not given us the spirit of fear, but the spirit of power, the spirit of love, and the spirit of a sound mind. So when fear comes, there is something it does to your mind. That's why you lose your dream. The word sound mind there is the word sophronismos. It's the ability to create pictures and to bet them. But when fear comes, it can truncate it. And so one weapon the devil is using is the weapon of fear. And fear is a spirit. He shoots it as an arrow into people. Some people from when they were children. I remember when we were growing, they told us stories that had no border, didn't border on our destiny. You just sit down in the evening, one uncle comes and begins to tell you a story about your ancestors, how that in the night spirits were walking and killing people. And for 10 years we were tormented. The moment you see darkness, you are afraid. Meanwhile, when I grew up, I discovered me, I pray in the dark. If I want to pray, I need everywhere to be quiet. I lie down. Even light becomes too noisy. I hide somewhere in the dark, very quiet. That's where I pray. But for more than 10 years of my life, the moment I see darkness, my heart starts pumping. I run away. Because the devil used somebody to bring a set of evil words to plant fear into my spirit. Imagine if I started praying like that at the age of 10. Fear. Shot fear into my spirit and made a slave out of me. And so if there is any iota of fear in you this evening, we will kick it out. We will make sure at least fear will leave you today. That thing that makes you feel that it can't be you will leave you tonight. That thing that makes you feel that is too big for you will leave you tonight. When you become bold, something wakes up on your inside. I'm telling you, nothing is too big for you. You were created in the image and in the likeness of God. So your propensity is equivalent to that of God. Jesus was speaking in John 14:12. He said, verily, verily, I say unto you, he said, the works that I do, you shall do also. If he stopped there, that would have been enough. But he didn't stop there. It's a greater works than this shall ye do, because I go to the Father. So today, I don't just have what Jesus has. Jesus himself has become my backup. Anything that has stopped you from entering your destiny, they will fall tonight. Yeah. ministry is a technology. How do you think Jesus wants to take over the world and he goes to fishermen? Because if he went to the professors, you would think it's because of their potentials. He went to ordinary men so that we know that the power comes from God. Anybody can have it. Any other natural advantage you have is an added support. But you are a fisherman, you can change your world. Today, they are studying the writings of fishermen in Oxford University for PhD. Imagine what a fisherman wrote. Peter, they are studying the Petrine doctrine, Petrine theology for PhD. Somebody is writing his thesis in 1 Peter. The writing of a fisherman. And then you are here. You have a master's degree. You say you won't take the word. You are here with all of the advancement. You say you won't take the word. I prophesy over you. Your potentials are activated. My God, if the speakings of a fisherman can become a course for PhD, you have no reason to fail. You have no reason to be small. And so everything in you that makes you feel you must be small, it breaks out of your life tonight. It's a weapon. The devil uses it to tame people. Let me show you three consequences of fear. Why you need to fight against it aggressively tonight. You will fight it out of your soul. Number one, fear torments. Fear brings torment. 1 John 4:18. It says fear brings torment. And so there are many people with great potentials, but they are being tormented. It said, therefore, it said there is no fear in love. It said perfect love casteth out fear, because fear involves torment. So when you find people who are fearful, they are being tormented on a daily basis. The moment they think of anything, they start being tormented. They are in oppression and they are in terrible torment. They know what they want to do. They desire to do it. But fear is like a demon of torment that follows them, some even to their dreams, forbidding them from looking at what God has called them to do. So when you see some people not being able to focus on their vision, it's because there is a koboko the devil is using to turn them away from it. And that koboko is fear. It brings torment into their soul. The second thing fear does is that fear provokes slavery and control. Romans 8:15. When you find fearful people, they may have the best of potentials, but they are living like slaves, never daring to live out their potentials. He said, for you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear. So fear puts people in perpetual captivity. Fear is bondage. And so many people try, but they are in prison. Fear has emasculated them. Fear has put them in prison, and there's nothing they can do. So after a while, they end up in a state of helplessness and hopelessness, and they give up completely. That's where they lose their vision. And finally, fear collapses your faith. That's why many times when Jesus wants to demonstrate the power of faith, he says, fear not, only believe. Luke 8:50, fear not, only believe. Fear not, only believe. Because the moment you fear, your faith is immobilized. Meanwhile, it is written that the just shall live by faith. Without faith, we can't please God. Without faith, we can't succeed in this realm. And if there is any weapon that destroys your faith, then that weapon has destroyed you indeed. And that weapon that destroys faith is fear. And so you find somebody who has a lot of faith, but fear exists side by side faith. And the moment fear shows up, faith is immobilized. This is why you cannot allow fear to live on your inside, because it's a weapon of the devil. How do you deal with fear? Many scriptures you see here, the Bible says, perfect love casted out fear. If you look at your destiny, and it's not just, I want to be great, I want to have a car. If you look at the future, and it becomes, how do I help society? How do I help humanity? How do I glorify God? You will discover that gradually that fear will go away. And so as we teach on how to destroy fear, and also teach on how to focus on vision, you are going to see that most of the activities that will be prescribed will be selfless activities. Activities oriented towards love.
Because if you don't know how to walk in love, you cannot deal with your fear. And if you focus on your fears, you cannot focus on your dreams. Meanwhile, dreams are meant to be dreamt by even the old. That means we dream until the day we leave this world. And that's why you cannot tolerate fear for a second. Now, let's begin quickly by the power of visualization. Because all of this journey will be in your visionary realms. If the devil wants to inject anything into your soul, he uses the eye gate, the ear gate. Those are two predominant gates the devil uses. Because sometimes it will be difficult to touch you. But he knows you can see from afar and you can also hear from afar. So he uses these two gates predominantly to tame a people. This is why you must learn how to cultivate the potentials of the eye gate, the ear gate, in order to keep your vision and your dreams alive. If you allow the eye gate and the ear gate to be shut down, you will lose your dream. You will lose your vision. What is your dream? A dream, like I said, is a divine image activated in your spirit man to open up your purpose. It's a divine image activated. It's God that puts it there. You didn't start dreaming because you are creative. You started dreaming because it is the part of your own agenda in God's corporate agenda. It is an expression of your purpose. But God wants you to see it, because there is something about seeing. What you see is what you become. What you see is what you have. The Bible said in 2 Corinthians 3:18, it said, we all with unveiled faces, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, we are changed. So God wants you to become what he said about you. That's why he gave you those visions. Because you have to become your purpose to fulfill it. And number two, what you see is what you possess. If you cannot see it, you cannot have it. And this is why it becomes a must to keep focusing on your vision. You see it every day, you look upon it until you begin to bet it. And that's where the power is. The power of vision is that when you see it, you become it. And when you see it, you possess it. When you see it, you create it. But if you cannot see it, you cannot have it. You cannot become it and you cannot create it. So the attack of the devil is to stop you from seeing it. That's why the theme of the conference is focus on your dream, not your fear. Because if you focus on your fears, you will become your fears. You will possess your fears. But if you focus on your dream, you will become your dream and you will also possess your dream. This is what visualization is about. And when you study the scripture, you are going to see how God mentors a generation through visualization. For example, God promised Abraham. I'm not saying a prophet spoke to him. Genesis chapter 12, from verse 1 to verse 3. This is the Almighty. Abraham knew it was the Almighty speaking to him. He said, now the Lord God had said unto Abraham, and not that word, had. That means God told Abraham before now. And Abraham could not accept it. Abraham could not become it. Abraham could not walk into it. And you will see the hindrance. So it's possible that God can appear to you and tell you, you will change this world and you will not become it if you can't see it. God had said unto Abraham, he said, get thee out of thy country, from thy kindred, from thy father's house, unto the land that I will what? Is it give you? I can't give you until you see it. Until the land that I will show you. If I show you and you see it, you can take it. And God went further to help him. He said, I will make thee a great nation. Blessing number one. Number two, I will bless thee and make thy name great. Blessing number two. Number three, thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless you. Blessing number three. Number four, I will curse them that curse you. So anybody who makes himself your enemy is finished. Because the moment he declares war against you, God becomes his opponent. You just sit and watch. That's why we are called more than conquerors. We don't fight, we take the spoils. I will curse them that curse thee. And he said, indeed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Even if a prophet tells you this, it will encourage you. This is not a prophet. This is God talking to Abraham. Abraham could not receive it. Abraham kept following Terah up and down until Terah died. When Terah died, Abraham became frustrated. He didn't know what to do. That was when he turned back to what God told him. and he began to look for the land. Do you know that even when Abraham got into the land, he couldn't see what God told him, so he couldn't become. The moment there was famine, Abraham ran to Egypt. And Abraham was going to Egypt, he told his wife, if the king asks you who you are, tell him, you are my sister. I don't want to die. Can you die? He said, you are a father of many nations. He said, indeed shall all the families of the earth, including the family of Pharaoh. But he couldn't see it. The man he was afraid of will be blessed because of him. But he was yet afraid of that man because he couldn't see it. When Abraham entered that land and Pharaoh touched him, the whole household was barren. To show you the power that Abraham was walking with, but he didn't know. He didn't know because he couldn't see it. God came to tell Pharaoh, that man you are seeing is a prophet. If you touch him, you are finished. If Abraham saw what God told him, that in me all the families of the earth will be blessed, Abraham would have walked to Pharaoh and said, I want to bless you. I want to bless you. Indeed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. When he walked to Egypt, he would have told them, I came to bless Egypt. I came to shift Egypt. But he didn't know that he was the source of blessings on the earth as touching that covenant, because he didn't see it. Until in Genesis 13:14, God had to call him and say, lift up thy eyes from where you are standing. He said, look round about you, from north to south, from east to west. He said, as far as your eyes can see, he said, I have given to you. See it. You know what fear does? It blinds you from seeing. If you cannot see, you can pray in tongues, you won't become. If you cannot see, you can fast, you won't become. If you cannot see, everything that those who are making impact are doing, you will be doing, but you can't become. Somebody said the problem of Africa is that we were trained to be servants. The reason the Western world is better than us is because they were trained to be rulers. So in the Western world, somebody wakes up, while he's in 100 level with you, he's working with you with the consciousness that he wants to go and start a business. But the African guy thinks if he graduates with first class, if 10 people go for interview, they will pick him first. And then if he thinks of adding master's degree, he thinks if he has a master's, he has a better advantage in the interview. And then if that doesn't work, he has PhD. And there are many PhD holders who are applying to drive tanker. Because the certificate means nothing if you cannot see yourself as a leader. The certificate means nothing if you cannot see yourself as one who should help humanity. And so the slave can be a doctor, and the prince may not even go to school, but he has a mindset that he controls the slave. The reason, no matter how big the horse is, a child can control it, is mindset. So God had to show Abraham, you are not going to any family to bless you. You are the reason all the families are blessed. You are not going to any nation to bless you. You are the reason the nations are blessed. Why do you think all our youths are running from Nigeria? They are looking for nations that will bless them. If God is sending you, there is nothing wrong. But God forbid that I run to England. God forbid that I run to America, hoping that if I go there, my life will be better. No, my life is better because glory is on my inside. My life is better because God is with me. Anywhere you take me, the outpouring can turn a dry field to a fruitful field. And it can turn a fruitful field to a forest. Because the blessing is in me. That's why sons, we don't wonder. When we move, know that we are in search of inheritance. God is leading us. We are moving as we are led. We are led. I was chatting with a friend yesterday. He lived with a very wealthy man, and for many years he was a houseboy, until one day his eyes opened and he left without nothing. He dared to step out because he began to see what God told him. And when he stepped out, he started his own business. And while we were talking, he said there's no month that he doesn't cross beyond 50 million. Those who he left in that house are still there. I'm not saying there's anything wrong serving, but I'm saying see who God say you are. And when you see it, dare to step out. That's what God did for Abraham. If you can't see it, you can't have it. If you can't see it, you can't become it.
And so you must learn to turn from your fears to your dreams. Because the moment you start seeing it, the power to bet it is activated. In Ephesians chapter 1 from verse 15, here was the prayer of Paul for the church. Imagine if you were to pray for the church 1,000 years ago. Imagine if you were to pray for the church 500 years ago. Will your prayer still be relevant? Paul wanted to pray for the church. He didn't say, God, give you a car. He didn't say, God, give you a job. They knew the kind of prayer that they would pray that even after 1,000 years it will be relevant. And hear what Paul prayed. He said, wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all saints. Go to the next verse. Cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. What was the prayer? That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. That the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know. So these are the five components of that prayer. If you go back to the previous verse, there were five things. The spirit of wisdom is Sophia, is the ability to apprehend knowledge. Revelation is apocalypsis, is the unveiling, to open you up to a realm where reality is domiciled. And then the next word, knowledge, is epignosis, to experience it. And the next word, that you may be enlightened. The word enlightened is the word fortizo, that light may be shed upon you. So Paul knew that everything they will become is at the mercy of what they see. If they can't see it, they can't have it. So his first prayer was not, God, bless them with health, bless them with car, bless them with promotion. No, bless them with the eyes that see. If they see it, even if I'm not there, they will become it. If they see it, even if a prophet does not meet them, they will become it. So the hallmark of Paul's prayer is for them to be able to see it. And so if anything turns your focus away from your dream, that thing has dealt with you. No matter what you have, it will be useless. Your first and biggest blessing is your ability to stay focused on your dream. Now, how do you build that focus? There are three things I will touch now quickly. Number one, for you to focus on your dream, you must discover who you are. Because the reason most times people stagger is because the circumstances around them appear too big to them. And so it is their thinking of their insufficiency that puts them off balance, always trying to do something. When you know who you are, you will have stability. When you know who you are, you will stay where God has kept you. If you don't know who you are, even if an ant moves, you will shake. And so the first thing to do is to go back and find out, who are you? If you know who you are, there's something that imparts into you. There's a gravity that it brings into you. And it is in that gravity that you begin to see and see what God said. If you don't know who you are, many times you will run even before the enemy comes. There are five things that God designed us with. We were built to be overcomers. We were built to be victors. We were built to be a wonder to our world. The Bible said we were carefully and wonderfully made. And where we were made was not among men. It was not among angels. It was in the community of the Godhead. When God said, let us make man, no angel was there. It was the Father talking to the Son and the Son talking to the Holy Ghost. And so if the Creator said you were wonderfully and carefully made, that's a conversation between the Creator. So it was God that looked upon you and said you were wonderfully made. The prophet only picked it as a frequency. So if God looks at you and says you are wonderfully made, then that circumstance that can bring you down has not been created. So most times the reason you turn away quickly from your dreams in fear and start running helter-skelter is because you don't know how you were made. Now, if you know who you are, every challenge becomes a platform for manifestation. Look at God, for instance, in Genesis chapter 1 verse 1. The Bible said God created the heavens and the earth. And suddenly, he said the earth was in darkness. The word is tohu bohu. It is emptiness and waste. Now, even at that, God was not moved. Because God knows who he is. I created it before, I can create it again. The reason God was not troubled
was because he knew he was God. And the Bible said the Spirit of God was hovering upon the deep. God was contemplating. God was thinking. God was imagining. God was creating a picture of what he wanted to see. When he was done conceiving it, he started talking. Light appeared. But a man who doesn't know who he is, the moment he's in crisis, he runs before he talks. Instead of sitting to contemplate and to create what God said, he will not. And then in his disarray, the devil will come and destabilize him and destroy him. If you know who you are, you will have stability. Now, who are you? There are five things that characterizes who you are. Number one is the nature of God. You carry God's DNA. That's why you must believe that nothing can pull you down. And it is from that standpoint that you can focus on what God told you instead of the circumstance. You carry God's DNA. Genesis 1:26, let us make man in our own image. If God created us like an archangel, that would have been enough wonder. If you read the Bible and you see the qualification of archangels, it will humble you. There are angels that can stand. The Bible said an angel in the book of Revelation, it said an angel stood on the earth. One of his legs covered all the seas and another covered all the land. And he said his head was in the sky. And he said the angel shouted, one third of all the birds died. That is the stature of an angel. One angel. If God created us like those ranking angels, it would have been dangerous enough. But he didn't create us like one of them. The Bible said, let us make man. If God created you in the image of the Holy Ghost, that would have been scary enough. If he created you in the image of the Son, that would have been dangerous enough. If he created you in the image of the Father, that would have been spectacular enough. But he didn't create you in the image of the Holy Ghost. He didn't create you in the image of the Son. He didn't create you in the image of the Father. He created you as a compilation of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. So in you is the dimension of the Father. In you is the dimension of the Son. In you is the dimension of the Holy Ghost. So when you appear, they can see the Father, they can see the Son, and they can see the Holy Ghost. Is it this you that house rent can kill? Is it this you that cancer can kill? Is it this you that lack of job can destroy? When the enemy comes, tell yourself, when I move, God moves. When I appear, God appears. Because as he is, so am I. Not in heaven, in this world. That's why we move forward. We don't turn back. Nothing can make us. Nothing can threaten us. Nothing. Throw me into prison. I'm having encounters there. Nothing can break your spirit as he is. If I was like Jesus, that would have been enough. If I was like the Holy Ghost, that would have been enough. If I was like the Father, that would have been enough. But when I show up, Jesus shows up. The Holy Ghost shows up. The Father shows up. Because my technology is a combination of Father, Son, and Spirit. So when I'm thinking, Father is thinking. Holy Ghost is thinking. Son is thinking. When I talk, God talks. He said, when they hear you, they hear me. And so when the devil shows up, sometimes go into your prayer. When you pray, when you appear, sometimes you appear with the dimension of the Holy Ghost. You know the Holy Ghost? He's pneuma. That's why the Bible said, as the wind bloweth, thou listest not from whence it cometh or whence it goeth. So are they that are born by the Spirit. So when you come like pneuma, you are not fighting, but the devil can't trap you. He sets a trap here, you go here. He sets here, you come here. They gang up against you, you vaporize. And they are wondering, what's going on here? I am the wind. As he is, so am I. And they are wondering, why can't we get him? You can't get the wind. It's the dimension of the Holy Ghost Jesus was talking about when he said, even if you step upon serpents and scorpions, they shall by no means hurt you. If you drink any deadly thing, it shall by no means hurt you, because you have become invincible. Now, at this level, you are not yet fighting. You are just invincible. So they gang up, they call your name in the shrine, fire appears. You are not fighting, you are just being the Holy Ghost. You are operating like the Holy Ghost. And then sometimes you now switch to the Son. And you start operating like the Son. The Son is the spoken word. That's the realm of prophecy. They gang up. While you are praying, After a while, walls begin to bubble out of your spirit. And then you look up, you start talking. Now you are moving from Holy Ghost to Son. Because all of the dimension is on your inside. And they said, you will not prosper. And after a while, you are talking. And then the words come out. And as it begins to come out, you start prophesying. You start creating. And you say, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor is seated in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And on this law doth he meditate day and night. He is like the tree planted by the rivers of living waters. His leaf comes in his season. He produces his fruit in his season. Yeah! I produce my fruit in my season. Everything they said, you canceled it. Because the word creates. It doesn't matter the roadblock. It doesn't matter what they have said. See, when prophecy goes forth, even dry bones can become a great army. And so because you are created in the Son, the image of the Son, the walls to create are on your inside. The problem is that you distracted yourself looking at your fears. They told you you will die tomorrow. Go to the altar. There is a word there. There's a word. He said he sustains all things by the word of his power. I'm not sustained by the promises of men. I'm not sustained by blood. I am sustained by the word of his power. So no matter how hopeless the situation is, from the altar, the walls can bubble up. And when the walls bubble up, all things can change. Everything can turn around. This is how you focus on your vision. So nothing they say move you anymore. They told you your boss has said something. Some people ganged up against you in the office. Go to your altar. Go there. Even your boss was created by the word. The office was created by the word. The earth was created by the word. When you catch the right word, you shoot it into that circumstance. Oh my God. He said, when men are cast down, you say, there's a lifting up. He said, although the enemy shall come in, he said, like a flood, the spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against them. He said, gather together, they shall scatter. Take counsel together, it shall come to naught. Speak a word, it shall not stand. For our God is in our midst. It's in our midst. He frustrated the devices of the crafty so that their hands cannot perform their enterprise. I carry walls in my spirit. My God. Brothers and sisters, there are walls in your spirit. You know what Jeremiah said? He said, with joy shall ye draw waters out of the wells of salvation. See, that was good. But in the New Testament, you don't need a cup. A cup is not enough. No, in the New Testament, you don't need a bucket. You don't need a drum. So when Jesus came, he said on the last day of the feast, he cried out with a loud voice. He said, they that believe, out of their bellies shall flow rivers of living waters. Mareka Takoria. Evangelina Karaka. My God. Rivers. Can I tell you? Nothing dies in your hand. Nothing fails in your hands. There is a word in your spirit. Find that word. Release that word. Even the dead can come back to life. The Bible said, even the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God. It said, dead that hear him, they shall live. Nothing dies with you. You have just not found that word. And the reason you didn't look for that word is because you don't know you were created in the image of the Son. That's why you distracted yourself with your fear. When next fear comes, get the word. Get it. It's in your spirit. Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word. There's a word for every circumstance. And so if I know that I'm created in the image of the word, no matter what the circumstance is, I will forget it and find the word. He said, all things are sustained by the word of his power. My life is sustained by the word of his power. My business is sustained by the word of his power. My career is sustained by the word of his power. My family is sustained by the word of his power. So when there is an attack on anything, I find the word. And when I get the word, I can change the situation. I can change it. And you know, you are also created in the image of the Father. That's the faith realm. That's the realm of dominion. And so sometimes when there is problem, be still. Don't stagger. He said, be still, you will see the salvation of God. See, you can just be still, and after a few seconds, an awareness breaks into your spirit, and you rise up, you give a law, and the situation changes. Even you will not know how. But you know what happened? You enter the dimension of the Father. Because the Father is the Lord of all. When He talks, is government. And all of those dimensions are in you now. The reason you fear is because you don't know in the image you were created. He said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness. If you know this, fear will leave you. You will stop focusing on fear. You will now start focusing on what is on your inside. You know, one of the ways to live the Christian life is to find out what is in you. Because Christianity is not a religion. It's divinity expressed through humanity. Paul said, this is the mystery of the age. He said, Christ in you, the hope of glory. So every time you search inside, you don't know yourself. All of us here, no matter the impact our life commands, is in eternity we'll find our real self. Because when you get to eternity and your spirit is revealed to you, you will discover that you are exactly like Jesus. That's how you are. I'm created in the image of God. I am an overcomer. The only thing that can overtake me or destroy me is what can destroy the Holy Ghost, the Son, and the Father. And because there is no such thing, I can fear nothing. I fear nothing. I make bold to tell you, I fear nothing. Because in me is the Father, the Son, and the Spirit. My job as a Christian is to excavate dimensions from my spirit. Sit down for a moment. Listen. When you know these things, you are charged. See, sometimes there is a business to broker. There is a deal. You don't even have an idea. You have studied because you must do your due diligence. Before you go out, you now take out 30 minutes. Brakis torukakis. Fradigas tonjala barakias tragas. Varagados taragista. Ragisto bragatista afradias. Ziza ziza varodo sabidakak. Rekiasto stafradias. See, sometimes as you are speaking these tongues, you will now move from your tongues to heavenly tongues. Because there is a time when there is a breach. You connect to heaven. Mengra, Abdi, Alila, Ista, Gikarak, Dragadina, Mondakias, Lelish, Ovrakatirias, Baragagas, Tuash. When you finish speaking, you go. While you are in that meeting, everybody is talking. The moment is your turn, heaven will open. When you talk, they will say, sir, but how do you know these things? I don't know them. They came. They came. They came to me. Jesus said in Matthew 10:20, He said, at that hour, don't think of what you will say. Open your mouth, I will feel it. They came. And the reason they came is because you are created in the image of God. The second thing God gave you is His likeness. That means you were designed to function like God. And I wish we have time to see how God functions. See, there are two dimensions of God's excellency. There is the creation dimension and there is the resurrection dimension. In the creation dimension, God is the one who produces everything you see. It's one of the dimensions of God. So God can create a way, God can open a door, God can grant favor and all of that. That is beautiful, but that's not where the glory of God dwells. That is glorious because there's no one who can create. But that's not where the fullness of God's glory dwells. The fullness of God's glory is manifested in His resurrection dimension. If you study Ephesians 1, verse 18 to 20, all of the words for power are locked up there. From Iskus to Kratos to Megatos to Dunamis, all the words for power. Because when Jesus rose from the dead, that was when He truly proved God. That means even death could not hold Him captive. If something is created, it can die. But if something rises from the dead, it means that thing is eternal, that thing is immortal, and only God operates there. So, if God created you to operate in His likeness, it means He created you to function beyond the grave. That's why I told you nothing dies with you. Now look at Jesus, the way Jesus lived his life. Lazarus is sick. Come quickly before he dies. If I come quickly, you can put me in the category of doctors. Because doctors too come quickly. You think if because I came quick, that's why he didn't die. Leave him. He now died. Meanwhile, Jesus knew. When they sent a message that he was sick, he knew. But he didn't move. When he died, he now told them, Lazarus is asleep. That means he deliberately waited. And he didn't wait 30 minutes after his death. You will say he fainted. Even doctors can resuscitate. I'm not going to raise any fainted person. He waited for 4 days. It was after 4 days that was when he showed up. Like the king that he is. And when he showed up, Martha ran to him and said, oh, if you were here, our brother would not have died. That's why I was not here. Because you will mistake me for a doctor. He said, where have you kept him? No. By this time he's decayed. I am the resurrection and the life. I am not just life. I am what? The resurrection. Resurrection is superior to life. If I give you life, you can die. But if I give you resurrection, it means you cannot die. I am the resurrection and the life. Anyone that believeth in me will not die. And even if you were dead, you will live again. Martha said, we know on the last day he will rise again. I am the first and the last. I am the last day. Any day I call is the day. I am the last day. Where did you keep him? When they were not believing, he wept for them. Because the problem is, it's not about me. I am showing you how you should live. I'm not doing this for me. I am the Lord of heaven. I'm doing it so that you will know how you are supposed to operate. And so when Martha couldn't get it, he went to the grave, rolled away the stone. Everybody gathered. Everybody, this has not happened before. What is happening? Because of that, he didn't do it politely. The Bible said he lifted up his eyes and said, I thank you, O Father, that you always hear me. He's showing us a formula. And when he finished thanking, he turned to the tomb. Lazarus, come forth. The Bible said he that was dead. Lazarus did not just come back to life. The energy that was released was so much because they embalmed him. They tied him. The power took him from the grave to the door. And he said, lose him, let him go. And he turned back as if he did nothing. On another time, the disciples wanted to cross over to the other side. He went to the mountain. You people be going, I'm coming. If I follow you, you will think all of us are the same. Go, I'm coming. The Bible said at the third watch, they found Jesus walking on the water. You know, what they read from their Torah is that Moses parted the Red Sea. Elijah parted the Red Sea. So they thought the zenith of the miracle is to divide the water. There's the realm you get to, you don't even see the water. It's what you want that is. It's what you see that is reality. And he came walking on the water. Walking. And Peter said, it's a ghost. He said, no, it is I. He said, if it be thou, bid me come. He said, now you are getting it. I'm not walking on the water because I want to show you I can. I created the water. I'm walking on the water to show you that you can. Now, come. And Peter started walking. Oh, so this thing is not only about Jesus. Anybody that believes in him can. Because you were created in his likeness. 5,000 men had no food to eat. That's a good place to fear. What do we do? They say, don't even think about it. Because even if a bakery is here, you can't feed them. And if you need money, a year's wages is not enough to give every man a bite. We are not talking about wages. Yes, because you are among men, apply the principles of men. But when the road, you get to a roadblock, remember that you were created in his likeness. What do you have? He said, well, there's a young lad here with 5 loaves and 2 fish. Bring it. The same formula in front of the grave. Thank you, O Father. Take, give them. If I'm doing it, you will think it's me. You, take. It's in their own hands that the miracle was happening. It's in their own hands. It's in their own hands. So when Jesus left, they now discovered that everything he did was to teach us how we should live. That was when it dawned on them that they were created in his image and in his likeness. And so they told Peter, people are sick. He said, wait. He went to the temple. He prayed. When he was coming out, there are too many. Put them. Let me use shadow. Malekoria. Hope you know, Jesus told them, if you lay hands on the sick, they will recover. But they now discover that is the baseline for everybody. In God, there are realms. And so Peter moved from laying hands. He started laying shadow. Paul now heard of it, that now they are using shadow. He now said, if I will use shadow, I have to be there. What if I shouldn't be there? Handkerchiefs and aprons were taken from the body of Paul. How did demons recognize it? He didn't need the theology to say, in the name of Jesus, come out. Handkerchief carried enough. So Paul knew that if you operate in God's likeness, even the sweat that comes out of you, there's something on it. We were not created to be ordinary. We were created to live the supernatural naturally. This is why you cannot allow fear to distract you. Listen, if you know this, any challenge you face is a platform for manifestation. Our platform is not the pulpit. Today, people are keeping malice. Oh, there's conference. I should be the one to lead the song. I'm the one who is supposed to take opening charge. Forget that thing. Your platform are the crisis of life. Why are you singing Beth in the Dahosa today? Because when people died, it was an opportunity to prove it's apostolic call. It's crisis that reveal your platform. And so when there's a platform, tell yourself, what will God do if he was here? That's how you focus on your vision. That's how you focus on your dream. Live out the supernatural. Why do you think the first book after the Synoptic Gospel is called the Acts of the Apostles? They were demonstrating God because we were created in his likeness. And that's not all. The top thing God gave us was his authority. In Genesis 1:28, he said, let them have dominion, delegated authority. That's the power of antonym. That means anywhere you stand, God has already certified that you represent him. So when you speak, it's as good as God spoke. If you know this, what is that thing that will distract you? What is that fear that will take you off? See, if we want to teach you to focus on your dream, these are the things you need to know. If you know them naturally, you will not turn away from what God has told you. So God told you, you will build the best hospital in Africa. Start giving thanks. Don't bother about how it will happen. Don't bother. Everything that is needed is in you. Because you carry his image, you carry his likeness, you carry his dominion. Everything is in you. Imagine what God did. You want the earth to be filled. You created one man. The oxygen that all of us are breathing now was available for Adam. One man. If at least God would have started with 1 million men. If the earth is what he's thinking, how can you want this earth to be dominated and you started with one man to show you the potential of one? That one hospital can cover the whole world. That one business you started with can cover the whole world. So when you have a dream and a vision, don't look at the size of the vision. Look at the size of the God in you. He said, though thy beginning might be small, he said, your latter end shall greatly increase. Because you carry God's authority. And that's not all. You still carry God's presence. In Genesis chapter 2 verse 8, he said, God planted a garden in the east side of Eden and he put the man there. So he gave the man his presence. Everything Moses did was by the power of the presence. The Shekinah was just following them. Shoes did not grow old. They grew with their shoe. You give birth to a child. At one, you make a sandal. That child is 40 years. The sandal still fits. Because when the presence is there, everything is enough. So the dream might be small when you started. Keep the presence. The dream will be enlarging. A point, you will think you are the one fulfilling the dream. After a while, the dream will fulfill you. The dream will carry you. Because if the presence is there, it will keep growing. It will keep enlarging. Their garments did not grow weary. There was none feeble among their tribe. What did they carry? The presence. Even when Balak hired Balaam to curse them, They didn't know, but they said, there's no enchantment against Israel. There's no divination against Jacob. Why? The shout of the king is in their midst. People who don't know the power and the excellency of the presence, they wake up in the morning, oh God, my enemies, kill them. Let them try it. Make yourself my enemy, you are in trouble. You will not know where something will slap you from. You will not know. And God help you that I speak. If I speak, it's trouble for you. See, the Bible didn't say we should pray. No weapon fashioned against me shall prosper. It's not a prayer. He's actually telling you. He's telling you that no weapon fashioned against you. So it's a breaking news from heaven. He didn't say you should pray it. He's telling you, if they plan any weapon against you, it doesn't have the capacity to prosper with you. Why? Because of the presence. This is why 80% of our prayer is to pray for others. That's what characterizes our prayer. When you grow and you become conscious of the presence, you pray for others. Because you carry an envelope. If they touch you, they are in trouble. When Abimelech tried Abraham, tried Isaac, he was in trouble. The whole family was barren. You touch his wife, even the animals will become barren. They arrested Jesus. They said they want to throw him off the cliff. Jesus was looking at them. So you think you can kill me? Try it, let's see. They carried him to the edge of the cliff. When they came to the edge of the cliff to push him down, the Bible says he walked through them. So you people are thinking you want to kill me. No, you can't. It's not given to you. If we will go, we lay down our lives. That's the commandment. No weapon fashioned against you shall prosper. So what you do is to carry the presence. When you carry the presence, you come into assurance. And as you come into that assurance, no fear will destroy you. Psalm 91 from verse 1 to 7, hear what the Bible said. It says, blessed is the man, that he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High. He said, he shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. He shall say of his God, you are my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom will I trust. Go to the next verse. He says, surely he shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the perilous pestilence. Go to the next verse. He shall cover you with his feather, and under his wings you shall take refuge. His truth shall be your shield and your buckler. Go to the next verse. You shall not be afraid. Hope you know he's not saying you should pray this. He's not saying pray it. He's telling you. So he's announcing to you who you are. You shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor of the arrow that flies by day, nor of the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor of the destruction that lays waste at noonday. 1,000 shall fall by your side, 10,000 by your right hand, but it shall not come near you. Only with your eyes shall you look and see the reward of the wicked. Why? Because you have made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place. So all the things he said from verse 2 to verse 8, he is telling you who you are. He is telling you what cannot happen to you. Not because you are shouting, not because you are praying, because you carry the presence. And so because you know that the presence of God is on your life, when the devil tries, you tell them, be careful. Something may go wrong with you. Be very careful. You are treading on dangerous ground. If you want to die, try to kill me. If you want to be poor, try to make me poor. Anything you try to do to me, the first sign is that it will report in your house. So that you will know that you are on dangerous soil. See, somebody will live here with a consciousness. I carry the presence. Now, if you know this, you will now channel all your energy on your vision. And then they say, somebody is trying to kill you. You say, no, God told me to go to Lagos. Somebody is trying to kill you. God told me to build the biggest hospital. Somebody is trying to kill you. God told me to help orphans. I don't have time for that. That one is taken care of. You now focus on your vision. So the reason you can focus is because you know who you are and what is given to you in God. And finally, what God gave us in Genesis 2:9 is his life. In fact, there are three kinds of life we have, and I'll round up here. We are the only creatures that have three lives operating in us at the same time. Every angel operates by spirit life. Every animal operates by animal life. But when it came to man, because of the agenda man was designed to fulfill, one life will not be enough for him. So we have the blood life called bios, we have the soulish life called suke, and we have the spirit life called zoe. In Leviticus 17:11, it said the life of the flesh is in the blood. So the reason you can relate with animals and also feel the pains animals feel is because there is life in your blood. If they want to check anything about your physical body, they check your blood. And that's why if you cut a man's hand on its own, it will still be shaking. There is a remnant of life there. But that's not all there is about you. If that's all you have, then the donkey is your brother. But that's not all you have. In Genesis 2:7, it says when God formed man from the ground, he breathed into his nostril and the man became a living soul. So we have intelligence. That's why even a man who doesn't know God can invent something. Because the soulish life is enough to dominate this world. You can succeed in business with soulish life. And if that's all we had, we would have changed this world to a very large extent. But that's not all. In Genesis 2:9, it said he planted the tree of life in the garden that the man should eat and become like God. That's the Zoe life. And when Jesus came, all he came to give us was one thing. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have eternal life. So one cure against perishing is everlasting life. So you have the animal life, you have the soulish life, you have the divine life. What does that mean? When you meet men, apply the principle they are applying. Read what they are reading. Go to school with them. Because you have the soulish life to develop. When you come to a seminar, beat them when it has to do with the mind. Don't come second. It's a taboo. Always come first. Because you are the head and the head only. Beat them. Beat them. He said Daniel and his friends were 10 times better than their peers. If they are doing that business, know the strategy more than them. You can compete there. But over and above that, when men are hooked, when men are traumatized, now withdraw from the soulish life and enter the spirit life. Activate your God element. That's where prayer comes in. I studied with you in Oxford. I studied with you in Harvard. I applied the principle with you. I know the strategy, but I know something beyond the strategy. Because although God created the law of gravity, but when Jesus needed to go to heaven, he didn't need an aeroplane. He ascended. Because there is something in you that makes you live above the elements. All of that is tied to the life that you carry. You carry a life. Function from that life and use it to service your vision. Listen, when men are frustrated, tell yourself, the life I have will not permit frustration. It's not my fault. Even if I try, I can't. There's something in me that won't let me. When men are cast down, the life I have can't let me. What will make you now operate like a baboon is impossible, because you live above their realm by reason of the life you have. That's the same way you should function. Don't allow what destroys men to destroy you. You carry a life superior to the ordinary human life. That's why Paul called us new creation. Go and check the New Testament. They didn't give us one name. They either called us believers, or they called us new creations, or they called us saints. Because it would be wrong to give us a name. Our propensity is unending. You can become anything that you can see. And the way to walk there is to become conscious of what you carry. So the first thing that will make you look away from fear and focus on your vision is to know who you are and to know what God has given to you. We don't have time to go further. Let's pray. If we had time, that's when I would have spoken about prayer. Because this thing you are, there are forces that activate them. In Jeremiah 33 verse 3, it says, ask me, I will answer. But I don't only answer, it says, I will show great and mighty things that you know not of. That's where I would have spoken about purity. And I would have used the illustration of Joseph that mommy used. How that if you refuse corruption, if your garment is pure, you can't lose sight of your vision. Joseph was in a pit. Joseph was a houseboy. Joseph was in prison. But he knew that 11 stars bowed to him. He couldn't forget it. The only reason you will forget your dream is when your garment is stained. If your garment is dented, you can't see your dream anymore. And that's why many fail. If we had time, I would have shown you the power of mentorship. How that when God wants to raise you, He will direct you to somebody who has done what you are doing. Because this thing is a relay race. I would have shown you the place of mentorship and transference of mantles. You will know that nothing is new under the sun. And the reason your own dream will be sharper is because somebody who finished on the lane you are running will inspire you. But we don't have time. Pray in the Holy Ghost. God will show us the rest. Ask the Lord tonight, open my understanding to see the things that were written before I was born. He said, before you were formed in your mother's womb, I ordained you to be a prophet. There's an ordination on your life. You are not ordinary. The reason He created you in His image is because there is an assignment He wants to share with you. Are we praying? No matter how you love your dog, you can't tell your dog to help you with your office work. That dog does not have that capacity. The reason God gave you His nature, His likeness, His life, His presence, and His authority is because He wants you to share His agenda with Him. And so there is something on your life that is bigger than your generation. Ask God tonight for the opening eyes, the eyes that see and the ears that hear. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. I'm no longer a slave to fear. There are some of us here who think there is a legitimacy for our fear. I was raped when I was a child. I was robbed when I was traveling to do business. The devil attacked people in my family and killed me. All of that is not enough. When Jesus was 8 days old, Herod tried to kill Him. All his life he was rejected. He entered the synagogue several times. They stoned him and chased him away. But none of that could illegitimize his vision. Listen, everything you have gone through is a school that God allowed you to pass through to make you wiser. You are only allowing it to take the best of you because of how you see it. Those who are raped are the ones who understand the pain of rape. And they are the best to pull others out. I'm telling you, those who are sick and God heals are the ones who understand the power of healing. Those who are poor and God lifted like beggars from the dunghill, they are the ones who know the faithfulness of God. Don't let what you went through to keep you there. Rather, let it empower you with experience so that you can help others. Can you cry tonight? I bury my fears. I bury my fears. I bury my fears. I refuse to have my fear as a legitimate ground for me not to focus on my dream. I am a child. In the name of Jesus, your word said you have not given us the spirit of fear, but the spirit of power, the spirit of love, and the spirit of a sound mind. And so right now, standing on this altar, joining faith with my mother, I decree and I declare, everyone in the bondage of fear, come out from that captivity now.
decree in the name of Jesus, the chains of fear are broken now. And precious Father, everyone that requires an encounter to see what you wrote concerning them before they were born, everyone that requires an encounter for their dreams to come alive, in the name of Jesus, let that encounter happen to you now. Receive light in the name of Jesus. The boldness you require to step into your destiny, the grace you require to step into your destiny, in the name of Jesus the Lord, receive that grace now. Receive that grace now. And every demonic mindset that has limited you and has made you to think only the tail is good enough for you, that has made you to think that only smallness is what you represent, by the power of resurrection, I decree, let that mindset break now. Arise, shine. Your light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. In the name of Jesus, arise. In the name of Jesus, arise. In the name of Jesus, arise. And anyone here that the devil is already trying to manipulate to think that you have achieved enough, so long as you are alive, you keep dreaming. He said, your old man shall dream dreams. The Lord will make small that achievement and accomplishment in your own eyes, so that you can strive for greater heights. And so receive the power to step into greater heights. In the name of Jesus. Joshua conquered 31 kingdoms. Not one, not two, 31. And God came to him and said, there is yet enormous land to conquer. You may have ruled a nation. You may have pioneered businesses that have affected nations. You may have mentored people in millions. As you walk out of this place, all of that will become small. Yeah. Receive a bigger vision in the name of Jesus. Yeah. See what happened to Samson. The whole exploit of his life, on the last day, what he did on the last day of his life was greater than all the exploit of his life. I prophesy over someone, even on your last day on earth, you will do something that is greater than your whole existence. And I decree over someone, even after you are gone, you will be the joy of many generations. Your legacies will outlive you. In the name of Jesus. I commend you to God and unto the word of his grace, which is able to keep you and to give you an inheritance amongst them that are sanctified.
If you were blessed by this message you just listened to and you wish to make Jesus your Lord and personal Savior, kindly repeat the prayer after me. Dear Heavenly Father, I believe in your Son Jesus Christ and that he died for my sins. He was raised from the dead for my justification. I, therefore, confess with my mouth that Jesus is the Lord of my life. I receive eternal life into my spirit. I am born again. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. If you just said these prayers, congratulations, you are now a member of the family of God. Kindly send us an email, prayer@encounterjesusministriesinternational.org. You can also visit our website at www.encounterjesusministriesinternational.org. God bless you.